Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part for any panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, the part panel show, part vicious competition. But I don't think it's going to be vicious today because all my panelists are really lovely. So the first panelist I've got to introduce you to is the fabulous drunk woman that solves crime, Taylor Glenn. How are you doing?
Ah, I'm very well. I think I'm here on brand, I just realised, because I've got a glass of wine.
Yeah, and some of these categories are criminal. This is going to be great. You're going to be
okay. If anything, I've come too well equipped.
I feel like as we're talking about crime, I was going to introduce the next guest as the Puppet Master, but that now sounds like a sinister serial killer's name. So how are you not serial killer, Dan Clarkson?
I love that, the Puppet Master. That could be my next Netflix thing, couldn't it? After
it
the Night Stalker, I am the Puppet Master.
Commit a few crimes.
Yeah, done.
That is
done.
The only way I'm going to get a Netflix special.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to get out of lockdown.
Brothers.
Well, thank you for the introduction. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Very well. All the better for seeing you. I've been trying to get you on this show for longer than the show existed, basically.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to wait until you had guests that I wanted to appear with, and this was the week.
Brilliant. So yeah. Without further ado, the magnificent catnip for Daniel Clarkson, Elf Lyons. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just really happy to be alive.
My standards for a good day have dropped.
Well said.
I put two tea bags in my tea earlier and I was like, wow, today's gonna be a good day.
Nice.
Yeah, you've just gotta wake up and be like, at least I'm still here. Like I get off. That sounds so inappropriate.
But
like, every morning the geese fly over my mum and dad's house to get to a lake. And then every evening at 8 p.m. they fly back. And I just like live for that moment where I hear, it's like really nice. But before I would have like, been, what the fuck is this? And now.
It's beautiful, it's nature. I'm delighted by weather in a way that I never was before.
Oh, it's magnificent.
It is.
Has it always been going on? Because I think it just started.
I'm such a diabolical small talker now. In every Zoom meeting, I'm like, guys, have you seen the weather today? And yeah. I really mean it. It's not filler. I genuinely want people
but
to
have
look.
I found myself cancelling meetings saying, guys, look, the sun's out, so I'm going to get out in the sun for a while, so can we have our meeting later? And people accepting that going, absolutely, yeah, you should get out in the sun. Enjoy the sun for a while.
Just but we've feel also, it on your face.
We've become aware of spring. Like, I feel like this is the first year everyone's actually gone, oh, I know when spring arrives.
Yeah.
Because I've suddenly noticed the change. Just before, it was, yeah, you were just in your little hole.
We're not getting that moment that I love every year where you leave work and it's still light and you have to tell everyone you know as you're on your way out the office, guys, it's still light outside. I'm going to miss that this year. Now I'm telling my colleague, but it's my husband's, and he's seen the same thing as me. So we exist in one room. So it's going great. I created a game so I could talk to other people. It's working out so well. Right, let's go. Right, I've got these topics in the ball.
I'm going to put on my serious cans just so you have no lead.
So you can listen to this really
You've just upped the game now.
Well, you guys, because you guys have them, so I felt like a dickhead.
We look like four really fun DJs for very different parties.
Yeah. Yeah, I look like I'm going to a children's party in this. It's like a Princess Peach dress, but it was from a small business. That's my
story. I was admiring it, so I just want you to know that. It's got to be a switch. Quick cue. Do you share the video of this? I'm just trying to decide how much I should control the lockdown double chin, which I call my lockjaw.
I take a few cuts from it usually, just as a
That's prep. Fine.
Yeah. Could you tell us when? Then we can do the pose.
I'll keep her tethered. Don't worry.
If it's absolute gold, make sure you're pouting, basically.
Okay.
I show no mercy. If the only time I'll leave something on the cutting room floor is if I don't look nice. I said it. Will that stay in the edit? We'll find out. Anyway.
It's got to be like that, though. It's your podcast, babe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that endorsement of my bad behaviour. And the first category is things that live rent-free in your head. So stuff you know that you shouldn't bother with. So for me, it's like I know the barcode for Cadbury's cream eggs because I used to work in Tesco and they never scanned. 906-01200. That's a Cadbury's cream egg on every supermarket system. So there we go. Can't tell you my friend's birthdays. Do you know that?
I've got one, but it's not funny. It's just...
We'll decide. Our standards are very low from what is entertaining.
It's just... and I've just realised I'm just wearing a cardigan. Why are my tits so low down on my body?
Oh yeah, cardigan and nothing else for the listeners.
There's
a real veritable smorgasbord of outfits going on. Daniel's wearing a Home Alone sweatshirt that's thoroughly out of season, but very appropriate because he is home alone and
it's true.
Slowly losing all track of time. Elf just a cardigan. Who knows if there's anything else?
It's not relevant to the tale, but yeah, sorry about that. My parents were like desperate for me to have music lessons when I was a kid because they didn't have them when they were growing up, and they did that typical thing of like they did well. They were like, you are going to have all the opportunities that we didn't have. So like, I did every extracurricular activity in the world, so I was constantly exhausted. But piano was one of them, and I was so bad. So it took me 8 years to pass my grade one.
You carried on for 8 years. That dedication is terrifying.
I think it was just like, it was so grueling, and it was from like a really young age, and I was and I just hate it. But like, I still remember this particular chord pattern, like this particular routine that goes do do do. I mean, I'm not going to sing it for the poor listener, but like, I've noticed now that when I'm thinking, my hand just immediately drills out of me. Like I could do it. Just, it's so small and it's so basic. But you know, in your head, you think, God, I used to play this amazing piece of music. And I saw a piano a year ago before lockdown. And I was like, I wonder if, and I just played it. And it's such a pathetic piece of music. It was like, I was so proud of it because I was like, I mastered it because it was a really complicated, tricky little bit of the thing.
No.
I
hope it was one of the installation pianos like at Liverpool Street Station. You're like, thank you. Eight years.
You look brilliant and creative as well. So people be like, oh, this is going to be good, guys. Get your phone ready.
Oh my God, it's so funny when
she's wearing a cardigan with no undershirt. Let's gather round.
But I've got my niece is only 18 months old and my sister just got a piano, and my niece knows Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is her favourite song in the world.
Isn't and the other show day, off, Daniel?
Well, no, because the other day, because it's very easy to play on the piano, and I played it and my niece lost her shit because she was just like, you are a god. Like, and she was like, you play this. This is my jam. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Da, 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 da. I was like, you know it. And then I also pulled some bread in my pocket to feed the ducks with her, and she'd never fed a duck. And so she was looking at the duck, and I threw the bread and the duck came over, and I was again her hero. She's like, you made duck come to you. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I have that power.
Oh, wow. I'm really glad there was a duck involved in that story. Because I could be like, I gave her a little snack out of my pocket. And
I just want a bit of bread. Yeah.
But I am the puppet master. That's how it starts.
She just felt bad for you.
Yeah.
Also, you are definitely, unfortunately, going to get three people who will reply to you now on Twitter going, actually, you should have fed them grapes, not bread. So be warned.
So true. I've got a thing that I spend too much time thinking about, which is, it's my worst fear, and that is to be lost in space and just be flying until I implode or explode or whichever the thing is. But of course, in my fear, I last for a long time, like I'm floating for a whole day. And the reason it's a stupid thing to think about is very easily avoided.
Yes.
But I could, like, even speaking about it, I'm inducing a true panic attack because it is just such a frightening thing to me. I saw Gravity in the cinema, and the whole opening sequence is my worst fear.
Why did you see that film? Did you not know what it was about, or were you trying to face your fear?
Do you want to know why? It's because I had a young baby, and they used to do baby cinema, so I would go to every single film without even thinking about what it was. The last one I saw was Dallas Buyers Club, and I'll never forget because she was a toddler. And you always remember your last baby cinema. You're like, you are too old for this now. She's like running up and down the cinema. I'm like, are you taking this in? Are you getting the nuances of American healthcare and its shortcomings? But I just honestly, like, I'm sweating now thinking about how scary it is. I mean, I think all of anxiety, that is the definition of anxiety, isn't it? It's just spending time thinking about stuff that you shouldn't. Yeah. Like, just go, don't go into space. Don't be like, Mr. Musk, what are you doing next Tuesday? Like, just stay out of space.
It's not like jury service. They won't be sending you against your will.
No.
And I've managed to avoid that my whole life. So why?
Oh, it was really fun. I enjoyed that. I love dishing out judgment to the deserving. It was... and a week off work, fully paid, and they fed me. Honestly, it was great. I felt like it was a legal drama.
You talking about being able to avoid going into space, just two things hit me. Like, it made me think, I remember when I went on a school trip to the Cevennes once when I was 13 to do like a geography field trip, and my dad, before we left, gave me a book on how to climb out of a well. And it really, like, hit me because I was sort of thinking, what scenario do you think I'm going to get into in order to need to learn to get out of a well? And I remember him so clearly because he gave it to me. He was like, do read this. And I did. And I now know, depending on the width of the well... You're kind of screwed if the well's too big.
Yeah.
But I know
you have to shimmy up, right?
Yeah, you have to push your back and you have to do this particular sort of technique, and you live off the moss that grows within the cracks of the well.
Wow.
That's such a detailed
manual. Had you been on the same trip as a child and had an accident in a well and sat down there going, if I ever have children, I promise this one thing, I will make sure they know how to deal with this well situation.
She will play the piano.
Yeah.
Use the chord sequence to get out the well.
Is this a whole book? Does it take a whole book to explain?
It had also like a few other scenarios. It was called How to Climb Out of a Well. And that was like the big chapter. That was the big money maker.
I love this.
And there was a few
other
things.
We need to
find
this book.
I will find it. It was really, it was just one of those things your dad gets you, which you know means in his way that he loves you. But you, it doesn't, it's not what your mum would get you, which would be a pair of jeans too small, but they'll be like, but you know, by next summer, whilst your dad's like, I don't want you to get trapped like that child in The Ring.
Okay. I was just going to say, of course I go to The Ring, and there's such a great, probably obscure and nobody would like it sketch, but that's the only kind of, right? Where you have like Samara at the bottom of the well, but like somebody lowers her down this book. And so the whole story is changed. And when she comes out, it's not as creepy. She's like, I read the book. Yeah. I ate moss.
It's a teachable moment about listening to your parents then, isn't it? Rather than a horror show.
Let's make that film.
A lot fewer kids have their heads ripped off for putting their head out of a train window than I was led to expect as a child as well.
Yeah.
That was a harrowing boring book and Ooh. Illustrated by Quentin Blake, no less.
Or was it picking up sparklers when they'd gone out? That I was, throughout childhood, that was the worst thing. If you were ever to do that, your hand would fall off, implode, turn into a claw. There were these adverts of just, whatever you do in life, do not pick up a sparkler once it's gone out. That's it.
Did you guys ever see that advert? And it was about, it was a birthday party. I'm not sure, Taylor, if this would have been on, like, but it's...
I've tried to catch up on every creepy public service video in the UK, really, so...
It's a very UK advert. But it's like these little kids on a farm and it's his birthday party and all of his friends go to play on the farm. But they came visited by the Grim Reaper. And one falls into a bog and drowns.
I was going to say, yeah.
One gets mashed to death by a combine. And then at the end, it cuts to him on his own at his birthday table, and no one's there. And it says, "Be careful on a farm."
Again, a lot fewer farm-related deaths than you would expect in your childhood, based on what TV told you.
Well, I guess the end is a birthday, because it's like, let's get the best day of a child's life so they'll really pay attention to death.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's beautiful.
We will find it.
British people, we're great, aren't we? Yeah.
We warn
the... Well, there's the grain pit one.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That never happened to me. Yeah, I was always wary of it.
I grew up on a farm and I was like, wow, nobody warned me about shit. Yeah. Like, we used to play on all the equipment. We just knew like one half of the barn had thinner flooring. Yeah. They're like, don't go there, you might fall through. But it was a very loose there. It's just somewhere over there.
Is you the didn't fear pit- that, just space. Endless new frontier. Our space.
I'm so glad you're not going to go into space, babe. I think that would, I just don't think it's worth it.
I'm now getting anxiety pangs of what if they told me I had to go to space?
Yeah.
Like, what if someone knocks on my door and goes, look, you've just got to go to space now. You have to go.
Well,
I'm not giving you the choice.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. So I'm like, maybe I should be actively...
Face your fear.
Trying to go to space.
Yeah.
They won't ask us anyway because the space suits don't fit women. So it's fine.
Yeah, they don't, do they?
It's all fine. This is what we've been building up to. This is a patriarchy. It's to protect us from space. Right.
Get lost.
So that was things that live rent-free in our heads. I was the opposite of Elf. I learned the first few chords of Train Drops on Jupiter off YouTube a couple of years ago. And whenever I see a piano, I do that. And then I go, nobody wants to hear me do the rest. Everyone thinks I can play. I can't. It's just those notes. There we go.
Oh,
Elf. I would have told you all my secrets. Go on.
No, I was about to, I suddenly realized that when I was 12 years old, so almost like 30 odd years ago, I was a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan. And a friend of mine, we got the magazine. Do you remember Fast Forward? Does anyone remember that? Yeah.
Yeah,
The lyrics to the Partners of Crime 4-verse rap part, Turtle Power. And I learned it as a 12-year-old and I can't forget it. And it's still in my head, word to word.
It was for this moment. Your whole life has been building up.
This is a 6.5 minute rap. I could give you the first verse prove it.
I've got nothing but time.
Well, I'll literally do it just because, you know, I don't remember Shakespeare that I've been in. I don't remember Berkoff that I've been in, or Brecht I've been in. This will not leave my head.
A little bit of humble brag in there with the turtle.
Oh, no. Through my career. Yes.
It's really weird what the stuff that you want to stay in there never fucking does.
Yeah. I also don't remember Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Working Men's Club 2009 that I was in. Don't remember that either.
I wish I was there. Yeah,
well, I'll give you just the first verse. Okay. Now this is, out of a half shell that the heroes fall, on this day and age you could ask for more. The crime wave is high with Muggy's mysterious. All the police and detectives are furious because they can't find the source of this lethal evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help like quick on the double. Have pity on the city man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger when Tonto came pronto, when there was danger. They didn't say they'd be there in half an hour because they displayed turtle power. And it goes on and on and on, and it will not leave my head for 30 years.
And you can't give a career talk to my kids.
Yeah, there you go. I'll come on to Zoom. Like yeah.
Now let's talk about bullying.
Yes. Yeah, because this led to much bullying when I was a child. Okay.
there were some good cultural references in there, I think. Yeah. Surprising.
I had to learn the prologue to the Canterbury Tales in Middle English, and no one in my class will ever forget it because there's something about how they drilled it in and that the words sounded so weird. So I'm with you.
But that's a cooler thing to have, though. That's a cool to say, I know the Canterbury Tales, I know the Miller's Tale.
No. That was the one for me. That was a point scorer. I won't lie.
Oh, all right. I see how this works.
The whole point of the scoring system is to entertain me specifically.
Oh, brilliant.
A lot of people don't realise that. And it is that biased. Tom Tuck said he didn't like rugby the other day. And I was like, you're talking to a Welsh person. You've lost.
You're done.
I've just drawn a line through your column. You've had it, mate. Right. Weddings.
I've got a wedding story.
All right.
It's not my own. I'm going to throw somebody else under the bus.
Yes.
Just because as soon as somebody brings up like awkward moments at weddings, this is what I think of. So we went to the wedding of an old friend of my husband's, and there was a lot of tension building up to this wedding because they had broken up at one point and then decided to get back together. And it had been a case of when they broke up, all of his friends, not my husband, basically said like, mate, well done. She... It's a bloody nightmare. And then they got back together and they're like, but also
beautiful,
great at other things. So they got married in Stoke, and I can only describe them as they're both very humorless people, which made this more awkward. So they had, it was all just an uncomfortable wedding. Like it just felt, it was what it was. They had painstakingly learned a waltz for their dance, and there had been so much buildup. Is somebody playing a waltz? Do you hear that music?
No.
Wow.
Are you playing a waltz?
It's the ring girl from the well. She's come back to thank you.
So I only use these headphones as noise blockers to prevent bleed, and I didn't realize that they were on. That was so weird, because the moment I said waltz, well, that'll explain the other things I was hearing in my head that I just let them slide. Okay.
That was the outcome we hoped for. Not that you would psychosomatically summon the waltz.
Were you at the wedding? Where am I?
It starts to become Host, the horror film on Zoom, rather than like a chilled out evening.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much build up to like, we've learned a waltz, they're going to do a waltz. Everybody be very serious during the spent months on this waltz. What they hadn't accounted for, they had learned each step perfectly. They were very mechanical, but you could tell they were doing each step. They had not accounted for the size of the room compared to the room that they had learned in. So we could all see, you know, this sort of moving around. We're like, they're doing it. Wow. And then we're like, they're going to go to the wall. Oh no, this maneuver is going to take them to the wall. They've got to divert. They've got to like work together as a couple and be like, make eyes with each other and be like, let's go this way. We learned this way, but we're going to go this way. No. They absolutely, he just swung her into the wall.
Oh, no.
And this is where the humorlessness comes in, because any other couple would have been like, hilarious. Isn't that funny? That's better than any setup funny dance. And it was like two remote control robots that you have against the wall, just like, like they just couldn't get out of the loop of like, just keep going, but there's nowhere to go. And it was kind of, I think they're not together anymore. It just felt like this allegory for like, we are going.
It also sounds like what happens when you play The Sims and The Sims sort of malfunction. Yes. They're sort of in the corner.
Yeah, they just get caught.
It is absolutely The Sims. Oh, God.
But was it like fun as an audience, as like a member of the gang to be like, oh, that's what are they like? Or was it
later.
Just like...
Later, when we all were alone, like the eight of us who were like, phew, and drunk, and we're like, holy fucking shit, the waltz.
Oh, God.
All that time, all that money, all that time and money.
It's very tragic because you obviously they were having problems, and it's like they had put all the effort into this, like, if we can just waltz.
We'll be all right.
We've got a chance. Yeah. And
there's so much pressure, it seems, on like couples to do some big thing now at weddings. Like if I ever get married, I just want us to go to Pizza Express. Nice. I want it to be over by 4. And I want to be like, right, I'm off to the Premier Inn, but first of all, I'm going to go to the cinema. I just don't want any bullshit. I've got a wedding story. It's not like yours at all. I was 21 and it was my first proper big breakup, you know, in like the first one. And it was never obviously going to work out because like we were different ages, different zones of who we were. But like I was 21, so I was just a hot mess. And it was this girl who was like, she was like my proper party drug taking friend at uni as well. And she was getting married to her boyfriend who literally looked like fungus, as in like he was like proper death, and like everything was hair, everything had sort of the same top had been sort of fermented to him over time. And it was this wedding right next to the train tracks, like an open train tracks, and you're thinking like, what is the budget, guys? Like, this is the beginning of a very problematic, it's like one of those public,
that's the
but the where are they now thing. And I remember because I was still really like not coping with the breakup. You know, I was 21. So I was like, I'm going to fuck everybody. I'm going to fucking have a great time. And I caught the bouquet. And when I say I caught, like, I fucking like pummeled for it like a monkey bat. There's this picture just me like grabbing it very aggressively. And then I burst into tears. And then I got sat on a table, and they did that stupid thing. And it's, you know, when you've been to a wedding, just put them on tables with people they know. Don't split your eccentric friends up and put them on, you know what I mean? Just keep your mates with. So I wasn't on a table with any of, we'd all been split up, our gang, and I was put in with the couple's table because hadn't had time to realize that I wasn't in a relation anymore. So the mature 21-year-old term for it. So I was with, I know also they were all young, they were all Muslim on the table, so none of them drank. So they were all like, just like, we're not going to drink. That is brilliant news
for the table wine though, right?
But I mean, that meant I drank like three bottles on my own. Yeah. And everyone was like, who is this guy? Who's that this guy who's not here at the wedding? And I was like, this guy's dead to me. And I was just getting so drunk. And then the groom, his punk band played at the wedding, and you could tell everyone was very upset about it. And I hadn't brought a tent. We were meant to tent next to the wedding. And you know, when you're just like, it was not working. And a couple who, they lived in Epsom, I remember this very well, they were like, do you want to come and stay at ours? You can stay on the sofa, you don't need to camp because we're going to drive back tonight. He's not drinking, do you want to come and stay? Because I don't think you should be here on your own. And I was like, and he had a Ferrari, like this car that literally couldn't fit three people in. So I was like, I meshed in like the back seat while they were in the front. And, you know, we eventually get home to Surrey. And they went, oh, by the way, they put me in the living room. And they went, we've got loads of chinchillas. And we don't have them in a cage. And I was like, okay.
That is information they should have told you.
So I spent the night, like, pissed on a sofa grieving about this relationship that was obviously never going to work out, but, you know, your first big one. And there were these chinchillas running all over me. And in the morning, I sort of had to leave, like, a dirty one-night stand with a couple I didn't even sleep with. It was like, this is the worst way to start my new year as a graduate.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is extraordinary. Daniel, could you
the only one
that?
I don't think so. The chinchillas sold it for me, but I was an usher at a friend's wedding. And I was put on looking after his great aunt, who was a lovely, lovely old woman, but very outspoken, but very lovely. And as we went to ceremony, I went to pick her up from a little hotel room because it was all connected because they tired the whole place out for the wedding. And I went to pick her up and she was in a wheelchair, so I was going to wheel her in. And I noticed she wasn't wearing a hearing aid because she was quite vain. She didn't want to. She said it didn't match the outfit. I was like, well, hey, that's fine. That's all right. Until we got in, we sat at the back and I'm sat and I put her in her place and I'm there and we're all good. And she had got to know me over the wedding, so would chat to me and stuff. And as the bride started to come down, she went, oh, no, Dan, look at that dress. No, it's not for her, is it? And I was like, that's just inside voices. And she goes, no, she's a lovely looking girl, but that dress is doing nothing. It's nothing for her, Dan. It's not, isn't it? Isn't it though? Because you were saying earlier about, I was like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't saying anything.
Oh no.
And she just kept commenting to the point that my friend who's groom looked at him and go, so I took her out to look at the swans. And I said, should we go and look at the swans? She said, all right, we'll leave to look at the swans. So I had to take the great on and wheel her out quietly. Oh, wow. It's just not the right dress for her. It's not, it doesn't suit the curves. Oh, and so, no. Yeah, so we went and we looked at
the
swans.
You're like, I'm not with her.
Yeah, I was like, because I was trying to diss myself. She's like, Dan, you know what you said about her earlier? I was like, I wasn't anything about her.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you were just doing a nice thing.
I was trying to be nice, yeah. So
you know, the greatest part too is even if she had had the hearing aid, wouldn't have stopped her at all. No, I don't think she would have lowered her tone. No. That's just who she is and what she does.
Yeah. And she had a point. It wasn't the greatest wedding dress we've seen. You know, just not the time to say it.
It is. Sometimes you do go to weddings, you're like, wow, that is your best, is it? Yeah. Cool.
It must be so stressful picking out a wedding dress, though, man. Like, especially if you've got your family there. Like, I mean, just...
Would that stop you going for, like, the arse as chaps of a wedding dress, Alf? Like,
you know what I mean? By that point, I'd just be like, I'll just put one of my Edinburgh costumes on. Like, if it saves my mum sitting there going, well, look, at the end of the day, you've got to think about how wonky your spine is.
Oh, so my God.
You know, things like...
You could wear a nice cardigan and it'd be fine.
Yeah, just wear the cardigan and put the knickers on.
Yeah.
At least you'll fit into the dresses. When I had my wedding dress shopping thing, they didn't have anything over a size 14 in the shop. So they said, wow. No, you need to get into them and we'll just hold the back clothes because that feels the same. And there was one where I had to, and it, you know, when you're in your bra and pants with a stranger who you haven't chosen, because the lady comes in with you to help you, you don't want to be told when you're all vulnerable, jump into it as though it's a sack race, which was one of the dresses. So she had me jumping on the spot. She also wouldn't believe that I was the size that I was, so kept bringing in smaller sizes. She was like, no, you're not. I was like, I know I am. And then, and she was lovely, but she was Jamaican. She's like, oh, where I come from, you'd be worshipped like a goddess. I was like, that's lovely, but not helpful right now. I just want a dress I can zip up. Any dress will do. Just bring me something that goes all the way to the top, please.
Also, unfortunately, in saying that, you're being like, but not here.
Yeah, exactly. That was the,
no one worships, like, you here.
Yeah, chubs.
Yeah. And bringing in like smaller sizes, it's like this idea that no, you don't look like a 14, you look like a 10. You're like, being a 14 is fine, being an 18 is fine, but telling me that it's wrong by convincing me I should be smaller is, that's the thing that gets logged in your brain whilst you're trapped in a well or in space or, you know, playing, you know.
It was my friend's suggestion as well, and she just wordlessly took me to the nearest pub. We didn't talk about it again. But yeah, you got to ring a bell when you found your dream dress. It wasn't really my vibe. I ended up going to Debenhams and getting one from Phase 8 like 2 weeks before the wedding that had room for the amount of cider I wanted to drink on the day.
That's fair.
So
good stuff.
Yeah. I should set up a business with this great aunt. I should find her and I say, we will do wedding dress fittings that I'll wheel her in. And she'll go, no, not at all. I go, okay, there, that's her advice.
That's basically
fittings.
Yeah,
that's basically what the whole of David's Bridal did to me. David's Bridal was my that auntie at a wedding.
Yeah.
You've got David's Bridal here?
Yeah, don't go there. Did you not hear the story?
No, I just thought it was only a US chain because it's like notoriously bad. And I had a very similar experience with the open back. They're like, we don't have a sample in your size. And then they made me walk across the entire warehouse floor, like meatpacking district.
Yeah,
because
that's where the mirror
is. The meat that was packed.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They didn't even give me a glass of like Prosecco. They clearly knew that there was nothing for me in the shop. So they were not wasting their time with freebies. I was quite hostile by the end. I was it's a little truculent.
This is why it's so like, you know, Big Fat Gypsy Weddings, that really racist show that used to exist in Channel 4. What I loved was just like the women who made those wedding dresses. They fucking loved those wedding dresses. Yeah. They loved you. You came in age 14, ready to wear that dress. And they're like, we are going to make you the heaviest dress. Yeah. You are going to really struggle, but my God, are we going to love you? And we are going to make it so flammable. And that's what we want.
Yep. Yep. You bring in the picture, they'd make it happen for you.
Oh, it's so true.
Health and safety be damned. You want to be encased in wire? We've got you. We've got you back.
How did that show get made? That's a whole other thing. But yeah.
Many shows have been made that shouldn't have been.
It's true.
That's fair.
Yeah, anyway.
No, that's a good
jokes there, just us reflecting on the industry.
Many shows have been made that shouldn't have been.
Sometimes it's just an arcade. There's no comedy. Right.
I'm having such a great time. Yeah, I just want to let you know, this is brilliant.
It's just nice to have a chat, isn't it?
It is. It's better than therapy. It's lovely.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because your therapist just can't answer back. That's the problem. My therapist is so nice, but she's just like... Yes, it is. It sounds really tough. And I just want her to be like, just call her a bitch. Just say that person I've told you is a, why are you sitting there next to so many plants and being so passive?
Like, give me just, an opinion. Which give, one of us was right? Yeah.
Just light a cigarette or something.
I find she myself younger. More...
I wondered if she was younger, 30s.
No, she's in. Well, I'm 29. Mm-hmm. So she's like in her like she's like grown up. So she's probably like 40. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, so that to me is still young.
Oh. No, it is. Like, 40's yeah, but grown I thought you meant. Okay, I thought you meant as in like. Yeah, no, I but know. I meant you meant. I thought you meant as in younger than me. That's what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah,
sorry.
No,
so
I asked.
I'm yeah.
Just because I've had a lot of therapists. This brain is worth thousands of pounds and dollars, but. Old jaded therapists will cut through the shit because they are so tired with the empathy. So I'm just saying, if you ever want to like upgrade or downgrade, as the case may be.
Yeah.
I think I need that. Yeah. I need your aunt actually. Dan.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could wheel in the great aunt and she would get on board. She would get on board. She'd go, oh,
that's
no.
My therapist.
Yeah,
yes.
She sounds like a bitch. No.
That's what I want.
Sometimes. That's what you like need just, sometimes. Yeah, just a great aunt.
That's why this my new colleague doesn't agree with me. Because sometimes I just need someone to listen to me and agree with my point of view. I don't want solutions. Mm. I don't want rationalization. I just want someone to go, yeah, what a bitch. And like validate my experience. And that's why I'm on Twitter all the time. Just looking for people to agree with me. Creating a special echo chamber just for me. And I'm happy in there and cozy.
That sounds very unlike us men that we're trying to solve the problem. That doesn't sound like something we'd ever try and do.
It's like, no, I'm not telling you this for a solution. Let me wallow. I want to wallow.
Yeah.
I want to be annoyed by this. But yeah, therapy, that sounds fun. Well, there's two different points of view there, isn't there? I can't believe so many comedians have, you know, got to face these issues. It's like there's some kind of tie between the two things. Need for attention.
I love how we've all slightly gone silent as well, just going like.
We all feel very seen.
For those listening at home, we're all nodding intently.
It is a little intense, actually.
I bought therapy for my boyfriend for his birthday, and he was like, why have you got me that? And I thought, I'm sorry, you should be thanking me for how you were going to feel for the next year of lockdown, because this is what I call an investment. I was like, you could pick the therapist, but that is what this money is going on. That and Domino's.
The pizza or the game?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the pizza. The pizza. Oh,
right. That's the right answer.
You got your boyfriend a set of Domino's and therapy for his birthday.
Oh, my God. Do you know?
I can see why your relationship at 21 ended. It's all making sense now.
Oh, no, I was terrible.
That's a catch.
It's too true. I just can't offer anything more.
That's a very thoughtful gift. Did he express any interest in that, or was it imposed?
No, he didn't enjoy me playing this like grade one piece of piano music either when I blindfolded him and took him to King's Cross.
Oh, That would have been what a day, what a birthday that would have been for him. I learned this for you. It took 8 years. Yeah, anyway, guilty pleasures is the category.
In blindfolded and going to King's Cross, that was always my main one.
Well, this might be a match.
Not even to play the piano, just to freak people out. I don't know what guilty... This isn't a guilty pleasure. I think this is something that, again, holds... This relates to what Teddy was talking about, the things that hold in your brain. But someone... There's a comedian I've only met three times... wasn't necessarily the friendliest, but has blocked me on Twitter. And I don't know why, but it really makes me laugh going and trying to get onto their profile and then being told you've been blocked. Because it just feels like, I don't know why, but it's like, there's something so like, what? How? Why? But that's so ridiculous. This is silly. I'm bored. And every time I'm sort of like, God, I don't matter. The world is a terrible place. I'm worthless. What's the point of my life? I then go, someone blocked me on Twitter.
They bothered to do that. They
for
took
something
the time.
I didn't, or I don't know. Maybe I was like, can you fucking pay attention to how to get out of a well? But I promise you, I'm going to push you in and you're going to learn something. I'm going to give you this book.
So you have no idea.
Genuinely none.
Fascinating.
And it's really like, I don't know if you guys have got something like that, but it's sort of like, it's like that weird, like, it's like that little like, oh, like, I don't know what it is. Like, it's like a sort
I get it. You're like, you know, I was too much. Yeah. I was too much.
I'm into it. Yeah. Someone felt that strongly about it. There's something,
it's,
yeah. There's
it's
something
sadomasochistic. Do you know what I mean? There's something, because you know, it's not necessarily good for you to relish and focus on those things, but there is something really obsessive about it. And I don't know if that is a guilty pleasure, but there is, it's like the release you get when you've done a leg wax. You know, that immediate like shock and then the heat that comes across your leg and you're like, is that pleasurable or is it not? Or like after a big spank and you're a bit like, ooh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like how, yeah, having my
I've got the
same
now.
Views, yeah. Yeah. I've got the same views as the wedding dress on that one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe it's an accident as well. You've created this whole narrative in your head that is like somehow they've got something against you. It was just a slip of the thumb.
I'll call them on my deathbed and be like, why? And they'll be like, what? Oh, shit. Sorry. No idea. Did
oh, I
we gig?
Everyone that day.
I think I was just, I think I sat on my phone. I'll be like, thank you.
Oh, his spirit can rest. She's free.
I really like this as a guilty pleasure because I thought we were going to go down the route of like movies or bad songs. And there's so much psychological depth to that one. All I could think of was tinned hot dogs, and it just doesn't have the same ring.
Oh, that's.
But I mean, that's is... good though. Yeah. Tinned hot dogs.
There's psychology there in its own way, I think. Talk to me about the tinned hot dogs.
Well, where do I start with the guilty aspect of it?
I mean, I don't know. The ethical issues.
There's ethical issues. There's health issues. There's just like you're
directly
a disgusting
out the tin, what's
just, woman.
What's your perfect serve?
Yeah. That feeling of like I'm gonna reach down, like if the last one falls, like I might cut myself for this last little hot dog down there. It's a real self-loathing kind of snack.
There have been times do you serve them in a bun or are you just eating them directly out?
No, they're right. What's they're just the... coming right out of there like a child's fingers.
Well, that's lovely.
I support this.
That's a celebration of life.
They're already digested. There's something so comforting about like somebody's done the work for me and all I have to do is taste the sodium.
It's big.
That's my job.
Yeah.
That's my job. Melt in the mouth hot dog.
I bet they're really good with like a crisp glass of Sancerre as well. Like a really glamorous glass of Sancerre. And then you just like a beautiful seal just go, whoop.
I don't know how we've never hung out off, but we're gonna.
That could be really fun once I've taken some Ritalin.
Yeah.
There's I feel like there's an Edinburgh Fringe poster in that somewhere.
Just
but not in space, dressed as Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
actually is a good show poster, and I will probably never do an Edinburgh show again, but if I do.
Yeah. I don't think anyone will, to be honest, at the moment.
I don't think anybody will.
Yeah, there's not going to be many Edinburgh shows for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, I left my money with them last year. I don't know if that was a good choice.
Yeah, I've still got money.
Safe investment.
Yeah. I paid for my venue as well.
Yeah, so did we. I totally forgot. Oh, shit.
Well, actually, now you mention it, I think I need to make a call after this.
I think we are all owed money. Yeah. And I don't think that money is there anymore.
You've come out of this very well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad. One time of the year where I could be like a really fun person. Because you're just always drunk with your mates. Just like, and everyone's flirting, but in that fun like way you flirt in the first week of Freshers Week where it's all just like really chill and like, wait, and everyone's like, whoa, a cappella group? Yeah. So insane the rest of the time, because in London you just like, if you live in the city, everyone's like, do you want to do something cool late at night, and you're like, absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not. And I'm like, what? Yeah, walking distance to a hill.
I know.
Yeah, let's watch the sunrise and make a drum circle.
See, now I feel bad that I did. Last year I was just grateful because I did not have a good show. So I was like, this is probably for the best.
I still remember like the morning of like, it was 2017, it was the day of like they were announcing the nominations. And I'd been like, hadn't been able to sleep. And I was really like stressed out. And then I went and hooked up with this guy. And he was like, I'm going to take you somewhere amazing. And I was like, cool, where are you going to take me? And he's like, I'm going to take you to Arthur's Seat. And I was a bit like, bitch, please.
Yeah.
And then, but he took me because I was like, yeah, this is really hot. And then we, like, it was all wet and it was really like, it wasn't one of the nice sunrises that people Instagram. It's like the sort of like, it's like a Sherlock Holmes type of moody, but it's not evocative enough to do a, you know, a Snapchat. And then we were boning, and then I got stung by like 6 wasps, which I didn't even know was possible. And just like, not like the proper big dangerous ones, like the like sort of really annoying, like, I don't know. But anyway, I just got stung in all the key areas and the areas that you often like grind against, well, not grind, but sort of flap against each other when you're doing a big show. And it was just like, I have never had to put Sudocreme on so many areas of like just before a big show as well. And you just feel like, of all the days when you haven't slept and you've been being fingered and you've been boned by 6 wasps and you're like, and I've been on Arthur's Seat but it wasn't worth it, like all these feelings, and then you've got to do a show to 35 people who hate you.
I'm astounded that this wasn't in your father's book.
This is a much when more being boned scenario wasp attack. Than the well.
Is this the missing chapter?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That was the new edition, wasn't it? You're the first edition.
I'm going to send you a picture because when I turned 16, he bought me a book called The Stories of Women, By Lives. And it was the stories of bisexual women around the world. He was like, I thought this would be interesting because do you remember when you came out last year?
Oh,
I was like, Daddy.
That's quite heartwarming.
If you meet a lesbian in a well.
Don't roll in a load of bees.
Beware of the wasps.
That's that's what I call coming out of a well.
Maybe he was trying to usher you out. Maybe that's what the book was. Maybe he got an early vibe about you. And he's like,
hey.
Yeah.
It's how you come out.
Coming out of my well. And I've been doing just fine. I don't know why I picked that song.
That's my guilty pleasure, that song.
Oh, hey,
there you go. The Killers, yeah.
Dan brought it round.
I don't understand when it became like guilty. I wrote this in I had to do this. It was really fun, actually. I would recommend you do it. I had to make a fantasy album of 10 songs, but the songs all had to be in the same place they were on the album they came from. So if it was number 7 on the album, it had to be your number 7 on your fantasy album. It's really hard because there are a lot of good track 7s, to be honest, and a lot of the artists that went on the list weren't even in my top 10. They just had to make them fit. I went through about 20 different Bowie greatest hits to find the one
you wanted.
But yeah, the Killers, when did it become like uncool to like the Killers?
Because I've seen them live a lot. Yeah, and there was a time when I used to go and see them, people were like, oh yeah, the Killers. And then it got to a, oh right. And then it got to, huh. Okay, mate.
Oh, you're that guy.
Well done, you.
Yeah,
you're that guy, are you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
So when
Good
did that
you.
Happen?
Is it when he became like, he got really Mormon, didn't he? Like, he became like hardcore Mormon. Like, he was always a Mormon, but then he was like, he would like, that would be full his opening Mormon. Sentence. He was like, I'm a Mormon.
I think, yeah, the worst thing that I ever saw at Live Kick was when he brought his wife onto the stage and she got booed because there were so many women in the audience that fancied him. They booed her. I was like, I don't want to be part of this anymore.
No, that's
That takes a very certain type of woman to boo. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say it's better than trolling because they were there with their own faces doing it to his face. It was more honest than trolling, but it was very brutal. You had to take it, you put it back in very quickly.
We almost had a chance if it weren't for you.
How dare you?
Yeah, wow. It was, I was just like, this. I don't back this.
No. Did you go like, I'm not booing?
No.
I'm all for you.
Always find, it's weird because I kind of always find it a turn on when you know that they're married, in their sense they're like, oh, good on you, like you're in a stable, loving
absolutely.
And it like, oh my god, that's great, like, oh, you met someone who you committed to and you've got a family. Lovely. It's why Jamie Dornan is just consistently fit, because he's so stable.
Oh wow, the Baphomet is so low.
That's all you want.
It's
stable.
Meaning the core of the earth.
It's so stable.
He's so stable.
Honestly, that's
stabilize me. Stabilize me.
Thus, you gift therapy to people.
Yeah. Be the stable man I need you to be. Work on this.
Just want someone who can love me, but also be my guarantor on a flat. Like, that's what I want.
Find yourself a guy that can do both. Right. Well, I think that's bizarrely the end. It has been an hour. I know. How did that happen?
That was quick. Oh, don't go. Because... I don't want to go back to being on my own with my cat.
Can we guys do this again? Yeah. Oh my God, guys, let's go to a wedding. Let's do a podcast where we go to weddings.
Talk loudly about the bride.
Yes.
I believe there are so many couples who'd be like, oh my God, we hired a podcast to do a podcast at our wedding. I bet you there's a fucking
we should totally do this.
There's
but
a lot
you can
of
only get away with one and actually say the shit that you want to say, right?
Some people are masochistic, or they want to be the one that you're not mean about, and they're so confident that they'd
people,
let you.
Yeah, like, you know,
this is actually a brilliant idea.
Honestly, I'll start up a doodle. Let's put some days in.
Yeah.
June 21st, we can book some stuff in. It will be in Edinburgh. August is free.
Yeah.
Booking the weddings.
Stay bonded opera with the shore of Sota. The drought of March hath passed to the rota and bothered every vein and switched liquor. Of which vertu engendered is the floor. One Zephyrus ache with a sway to breath and spirit hath and is holden health. The tender croppers, it keeps going.
Leonardo, Michelangelo, and Donatello make up the team with one other fellow, Raphael. He's the leader of the group, transformed from the norm by the nuclear goop. Oh, yeah.
Smaller fullers mock a melodia that slip in all the knit with open ear, and palmers forsaken stroundis strondis. I can't even translate it anymore. I mean, it's not a translation, it's just English. It's fucked up English.
The remix
so much
we never
cooler.
Knew we needed.
Yeah, let's record that at one of the weddings. We'll perform it live.
Yeah, while they waltz in the corner.
Yeah,
and I'll do a Houdini act to the background where you can bet how long it'll take it to get out of the hole they've dug in the bottom.
Escape you from the well.
And I'll just roll this ball for no reason. Oh, we
you
can go on ball weddings.
Do you ring? Because I love that noise. Did you do it today?
Yeah.
Did you do it today?
I couldn't hear it. I was literally like...
You heard the music too, didn't you?
Grandmother?
It is a wonderful sound, isn't it?
It's
a good noise. What do you officially call that apparatus?
It's a bingo ball.
A bingo ball, okay.
Yeah. We didn't use any of our special tricks, did we?
You didn't, no, we were just having a nice chat. Do you know what? Yeah. That was fine. Arguably, the rules I came up with were too convoluted because I didn't want them to be the same as other podcasts that were very similar. But It's fine.
I love that. I had a really nice, I feel really relaxed.
Yeah. I want to know. I see you guys not as my competitors, but my colleagues.
It was a very closely run race. You you picked up some points there at the end as well, Taylor. Like when you just burst into recital.
Oh yeah, it was a competition, wasn't it?
Yeah. You got chaucered, bitch.
But it's okay, because you still won.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was really close. Fair. It was 12-12.
I never
15,
win anything.
So, yay!
I'm going to eat Domino's now. Genuinely, my partner left during this because we're watching the final episode of The Wire season 4 tonight.
Oh my
and
God.
And so we're getting Domino's. It's a special treat. Well, cool. True. We're living the early 20s life.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're a winner.
It's just like the BBC, though. There aren't any prizes. So it's just the glory. I can give you a repeater badge or whatever.
Your friendship.
Also, it sounds like your pizza budget just went through the roof because the therapy's not being had. So that's a lot of pizza. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Get some sides as well.
I mean, he's already gone to get it. So who knows?
Chicken strippers. They have stuff called chicken strippers.
I can't eat it because my dad used to be a delivery driver and he'd get a staff pizza every day. But his shift, he did 3 a week. His shift was 6 till midnight. So 3 nights a week, me and my mum had 2 dinners. One of them was at midnight and it was pizza. It was a bad time in our house.
Sounds great.
It was a gassy time. It was a chunky time.
It was a gassy time, my child. That's the beginning of Edward Scissorhands.
A complicated relationship with lactose began there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, mate.
But yeah, this has been an absolute joy. You are now free to leave the Comedy Arcade. Thank you for everyone for listening.
Thank you, Vix.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vix. This has been fucking excellent.
Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.